I warmly welcome you all in the precious name of the Lord and wish you God's blessings. Let us read a word from the Lord from 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1 before we pray. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We can, and will enter into this word briefly. But before we do that, let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we have read your word, O God. It penetrated our hearts. You speak to us as a father speaks to his sons and daughters. Make us obedient children in whom you can be well pleased. Unbind us and free us from all disobedience. Make us a free and redeemed people of God, consecrated to you. Build us up in the Spirit today, so that we can meet you in the Spirit. Lord our God, let us find grace on the day of visitation. Lord, forgive our trespasses and our sins. We bow before you, the holy and true God, who has eyes like flames of fire, before whom no one can stand, unless he is under the blood, and in Jesus Christ, faithful God, banish every spirit that is not of you. Deliver us from evil and crown us with mercy and loving kindness. Lord, be in our midst today according to your promise. We ask you to do this. We do not take it for granted when you speak to us, but it is a great privilege. Almighty God, bless us now from the riches of your grace. We place this gathering under the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Come thou to your right, in me and in us all. And we remember your servants and your messengers and all your people throughout the earth. Lord, bless them in all the ends of the earth, and bless us in this place. Bless all who will hear and witness this service anywhere. Bless them from the riches of thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm sure you noticed that we stood up when the chorus was suggested, "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy." And I mean, if the angelic hosts of Revelation 5 fell on their faces and worshipped as they cried out, "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy," then it behooves us at least to stand in awe before the Lord, for he alone is worthy to receive the praise and the honor. Today, we will briefly look at a topic that God wants to transfigure to us through his Holy Spirit, and for which he wants to open our understanding. We started with 1 Peter chapter 2. Here are some very striking, eye-catching sentences and sayings that we have heard. And we read up to the sentence that they will praise God on the day of visitation. Not on the day of judgment, but on the day of visitation. A divine visitation of grace must come at the end of the time of grace, which will take hold of all those who are destined by God for it, and their eyes will be opened, and they will realize that grace is grace and not deserved, and that we can all only believe and be saved by grace. I would like to begin with a word from Psalms 82, and then move on to the New Testament to show us today our position as God sees it and how we stand before Him by grace. For if we do not understand who we are, then we will never be able to be used by God in faith. Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Today I'm concerned of showing us who we are on the basis of the Holy Scripture. Let's pay particular attention to the two verses, namely the first verse and the sixth verse. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. We want to know who these gods are. Not idols, gods. Verse 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Here we have two things. I have said, ye are gods, and on the other hand, ye shall die like men. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Here we read from verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Let us note the following. Our Lord said here to the Jews, did not the scriptures call those to whom the word of God came gods? And who were these men? It was the prophets to whom the word of God came. Men who received the word of God took into themselves a divine substance and were called sons of the Most High in the eyes of God. I don't know if we have already spoken about this thought in this place. It has moved me deeply for a few weeks now. You have read the sermon on Melchizedek, and we understand what it is trying to express. The word, the Logos, was the appearance in the spiritual body. We who have been in God or in His thoughts from eternity have never before appeared in the spiritual body. But when we lay aside this earthly shell, we will be transformed into the resurrection body and will be like the Lord, according to 1 John 3, verse 3. Here in this word, it was not a man who answered, but the Lord. They accused him of blasphemy and said, "You who are a man, make yourself God." And that would indeed be a terrible blasphemy if any man on earth were to claim to be God. But our Lord did not make the claim. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Of course, they only saw the body of flesh, and they could have said, "We know you. We know your brothers and sisters. You have been among us all these years. There is the stable where you were born. We know you. What are you making of yourself? Blank spot. God and man in one form, in one person. And people have only seen the outward appearance and have not recognized the divine revelation in Christ. Now it goes one step further. We know that our Lord was begotten by the Spirit and that He was and is the Son of God. But it does not end there. We have been made sons and daughters of God through Him. And must realize that we have been placed in a divine state. The prophets, to whom the word of God came, were called gods. They became partakers of the divine nature of the eternal Word of God. They became a part of God by absorbing the divine Word, and they were immortalized in their inner being, in their soul, and made sons of God. And our Lord says, if the Scripture already called those to whom the Word of God came, that is, those who received it before Christ was revealed, consider this afternoon that the prophets who received the Word of God were already sons of the Most High in faith and were called gods before the Word was made flesh in Jesus Christ our Lord. They were called gods because the Almighty God took dwelling in them through His living, unbreakable Word. Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That is the great mystery. You could have gone to Noah, to whom the word of the Lord came, and said, Noah, we know you, we know your story, and so on. Noah, we know you. You are just like all other people, and you will die just like them. You could have gone to Abraham and to all the prophets and said, don't make anything of yourself. Don't imagine that you are different from the rest of the people around you. You have to eat and drink the same way. You are just such a person as all of us. We have known you long enough. Beloved, on the outside, an Enoch, a Noah, an Abraham, an Isaac, a Jacob, an Isaiah, a Jeremiah, an Ezekiel, an Elijah, and an Elisha, and all the prophets, they were on the outside, like you and like me, like their contemporaries, and like our contemporaries. And it is written in James 5, Elijah was a man like us, no other. There have been no other people. They just act different, but are not different. But these people, you couldn't see it on the outside. You could have pointed your finger at them if you wanted to and said, man, stop it now. These men to whom the word of God came. They didn't start, and they couldn't stop. The Lord had spoken to them and brought forth something divine in their souls, and had already called them sons of the Most High in the Old Testament. Men to whom the word came that we have today as a prophetic word in the Holy Scriptures. They were gods because they had absorbed the divine in themselves. The mind will say, in the same verse it is written, or in the next, I have told you, you are gods, and you are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like men. Yes, that is all true. They died like men. But the day of resurrection has already made known for the Old Testament saints that they died, yes, they died like men, but they were resurrected. When we read Matthew 27 from verse 51, when Christ, our Lord, died on the cross of Calvary, it became dark. The sun lost its light. An earthquake occurred. The rocks rent and the tombs opened. And then the wonderful word, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. It is true that the prophets were people like you and me, but by the fact that God's word came to them, and that they believed it, and received the eternal divine seed into themselves, they became partakers of the divine nature through the word of our God, and that already in the Old Testament. They believed in Christ. They knew that he would come and be revealed in the flesh. And Job said it, even the skin worms destroy this body, yet shall I see God, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. It was men of God who walked this earth and carried the divine seed. And they not only carried it for others, but also became partakers of the promises they carried and proclaimed. And that's why it is written in Hebrews that they without us should not be made perfect. So they have to wait until we are added. Perhaps I should read it to you. Hebrews chapter 11. It's the last verse. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Please, let's understand it this afternoon. Men of God, to whom the word of God came, were called gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. They were people who received the divine seed here on this earth and left a living testimony that they had believed what God said to them. Jesus, our Lord, was the summary and fulfillment of all that the prophets had spoken. In Him, the whole Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. But it does not end there. Just as the word that went out to the prophets could not return void, but found its fulfillment, so in the church and through the church, every word must find its fulfillment. Today, we should realize that we are still human beings in the flesh, and that we are eagerly awaiting the transformation of our bodies, and wish it were today rather than tomorrow. But let us not forget the eternal fact that we have become sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If someone comes to you or to me and says, "Listen, you say so nicely that you will be raptured and that you belong to the elect. What do you make of yourself?" They came to our Lord and said, "You have blasphemed God. You are a human. We have seen you here all these years. What are you making of yourself?" Beloved, we are human, but not only human. We live and die like others. But there will be a difference in the resurrection. Dying is only the end of one stage, and the second stage begins with a resurrection. So, those from the Old Testament who were to reach the first resurrection were resurrected with Christ, just like those who are now being called out and raptured as the bride church, as a chosen multitude. These are the first fruits. And then comes the second resurrection at the end, after the 1,000 years. Today, the Lord wants to show us that we should not look to ourselves, but to the living God, whose word we have received into our hearts. It is not you and I who make us sons or daughters of God. We are born again through the eternal seed of the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, and we hold fast to that. All to whom the Word came, they were gods. And it says, God is in the midst of the congregation of God. We want to become a congregation of God, in whose midst God can be. And I believe that if the prophets who were still waiting for the fulfillment of the word were already called gods, and the Lord says, that he standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and that he judges among the gods, if those who came together back then already experienced the presence of God, how much more can we, who live at the end of the time of grace, expect that God will bring forth a divine generation after the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord? In the book of Acts, in chapter 17, Paul says a very important word. Here it is written, from verse 27, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. I am mainly concerned here with this expression, for as much then as we are the offspring of God. Just as we all bear the image of the first Adam on us in an earthly way, so we, who have come to the living faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have received eternal life and are the offspring of God and have become partakers of the divine nature, born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And just as God is not comparable to what people can carve out of gold and silver and stone or wood, these are not gods, they are idols. And the children of God are not carved or made and molded by human hands, lifeless idols. The children of God, who have received the word of the Almighty and have been born again unto a living hope, have been made alive. They have risen with Christ, for thus it is written, if we are buried with him, we are also risen with him to walk in newness of life. We know who Christ is, and now we also know who the prophets were. They walked with earthly feet on this earthly earth, but they were bearers of the divine word that came to them. And this divine seed in their hearts made them partakers of the divine nature and the divine being, and they have become heirs of the promises of God, and they will see them together with us, but could not find their perfection without us. Now we come to our time. I would like to assume that everyone here this afternoon is more or less familiar with the prophetic ministry of the end times. And we all know that the Word of God came to one of the greatest prophets, and that this man became partaker of the divine nature and the divine being, and that he was able to become a channel through which the divine creative power and saving and healing power could flow. However, this is not to be marked with a full stop and thus considered complete, but at most with a comma, and the continuation is that what God did through the messenger was only to show what he would do through those who believed the divine message. And beloved, you may say, huh, what kind of man was he? Just such a man as you and me. He drove a car like you and me. He sat at the wheel, and I sat next to him in the front seat on the right. And behind us sat Brother Woods and Brother Softman. We sat at the same table. We ate and drank. There was no difference on the outside. I was in his house. The kitchen was the kitchen. The living room was the living room. The layout was the same as everyone else's. And if you looked on the outside, you would see a not too tall man from the mountains of Kentucky, a hillbilly, as people from that area are called. And when he stood on the platform, and after the sermon, the impact was through the Spirit among the audience, he said, I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord. Without him, I am as helpless as you all are. And then he made a single declaration and said, it's not me who is operating this gift, but it's you who are operating this divine gift by faith. There we have it. Do you believe today that we are sons and daughters of God? Do you think we are dead idols? Or that we are a godly generation of born-again people who have received God's word as seed in their hearts for this time? Brother Branham said, the police pulled me over. The right headlight on the car did not work. And the man said, listen, I have to give you a ticket. That is, you have to pay a fine. A man to whom everything that happens to me and you could happen. A man like us, purely outwardly, but inwardly, a man of God, a prophet of the Most High, a bearer and revealer of the divine mysteries that were revealed and communicated to him. Is that all? No, that is only one side of the story. The second side is that God, through the revealed prophetic word, brings forth a multitude who partake of the divine nature. I ask you a question. Why did the Lord not say that all the priests, the descendants of Aaron, and all the Levites, the descendants of Levi, they are sons of the Most High, for they serve me in my sanctuary, and so on? No, it's not just about a service that we hold. It is about receiving the Word of God and not just celebrating a service outwardly, but receiving the Word of God in our hearts in the name of the Lord. The prophets did not do in the service what the priests did. The priests had a routine task. They did the same thing every Sabbath. A prophet did not do the same thing every Sabbath. And each prophet did not look at what someone else did to do the same thing. But the Word of God came to the prophets, and the Lord spoke to them and revealed His Word and His will to them. That is exactly how it is today. All preachers are able to organize a beautiful service. All evangelists have an excellent program, and the people are kept in suspense, so much so that they hardly dare to breathe from beginning to end. And an atmosphere is created that you might think back on for a few days. But God is not in such an atmosphere. God is in His Word. And if the prophets, to whom the Word of God came, were called gods, what shall we say today, to whom the whole Word has come in these last days? Beloved, God has made something glorious out of us. Ye are a holy people, a royal priesthood. Ye are the chosen people. What more do you want? Could God do more than He has done? He has revealed His plan of salvation and has opened our eyes and our hearts. We can believe. I must come to a close, because time has run out. We could read in 2 Peter, in chapter 1, that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, and that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. And here, in this room, are two older sisters who shared something with Brother Kupfer and me as we entered the corridor. And one sister has seen the resurrection. And I hardly dare to say in what context it all happened. Brother Kupfer is sitting here. The two sisters, if they don't mind, they could stand up. So you know I'm telling the truth. They are certainly too shy. Are they both here? Here is one sister. Thank you, sister. And there is the other one. Ask these two sisters, and especially ask the one sister here, what God has revealed to her. And I believe with all my heart that we, as bearers of this divine message, which we will not deny under any circumstances, even if it costs our lives, that as bearers of this prophetic word, we are sons of God, and therefore sons of the resurrection. And God said, He is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. And do you know when He said that? When He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And the Lord Jesus takes this word into the New Testament and says that God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. Not because I'm standing here today, but the sister saw what Brother Branham saw years ago. And she saw the final context that led up to the resurrection of the dead, the transformation and the rapture a week ago. She said just now that when she thinks about it, her whole body trembles. Beloved, God is among His people. And today it's not about Brother Branham, and not about Brother Frank, not even about Paul or Peter. And yet it is about all those through whom God has spoken. We can distinguish between an enthusiasm that people can produce and between a divine decree. Let me say in closing, hold fast to what God has given us by grace. Now on Friday, there was a man in my house. He wanted to convince me that God now has an eighth messenger, and that Brother Branham had appeared to him, and so on. Beloved, I confess it before God, and may He have mercy on me. That was the first time I lost my temper. And I said the following words to this man who had just finished speaking. Now Satan has spoken out of you, just as he spoke to Jesus back then, and has misinterpreted the scriptures. And he wanted to tell me, the eighth is in Revelation 1. I said, where is the eighth? He says, in Revelation 1. I said, in Revelation 1, Jesus Christ, my Savior, walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I don't want him to be called the eighth. He is my Lord and my Savior. And in his right hand are the seven stars, the seven angels of the seven churches. And it came over me. And I can't tell you here what else I said to him. In the end, I just had to say, "Brother, forgive me. I was consumed by the zeal for the house of God. I couldn't help it." And do you know what happened? He jumped up from the bench and wanted to prostrate himself and apologize to me. I said, "Don't do it. You don't need to apologize." And I just said to him, "I'm ashamed that people like you have sat for years under the true preaching of the Word of God and can fall for any error." The man wanted to pay for me to travel to America to meet the AIDS messenger. Oh my God! Beloved, the end of all things is here. There are only 7 church ages, only 1 sevenfold candlestick, only 7 angels and 7 messages to the church. And the Bible says, in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. It is a disgrace when people who have heard God's word for many years then fall for every dog's body. And many went out, robbers, bandits, and chaotic persons, and they are in the midst of the people of God. And Paul says in Acts 20, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." If things come from outside, then we can ward them off. But if they start from within, like a cancer, and then spread, and continue to eat away and destroy, beloved, divine revelation joins. Divine revelation leads to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Word, and we are no longer waiting for anyone else to come. We are waiting for the return of our Lord. After John the Baptist had brought his message, no messenger appeared again, but he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Our brother Branham pointed out to us Jesus Christ, our Lord, that people who are twisted themselves twist all kinds of things. It has become even so far that the word is twisted in your mouth. Have you ever experienced that? It is incomprehensible, even inconceivable. But thanks be to God, he has a flock that Satan may harass and buffet. But in the depths of their souls, they carry the divine seed of the Word of God. And just as surely as the prophets carried the Word, so surely are we, as we have received the word of prophecy and the entire proclamation of the word of God's plan of salvation. We have become sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us be strengthened and may it happen by grace. God sent a message to bring us back to this word. Remember the opening word, that they may praise the Lord on the day of God's visitation. The day is coming when many who slander today, who commit character assassination today, when they see God's visitation of grace among the people of God, they will have no choice but to give up their inner resistance and praise God in the midst of His people on the day of His visitation. I could now take you to Acts 3 from verse 21 to 23. And there it is written that Jesus must remain in heaven until the times of restitution of all things, and that God will send the times of refreshing. Hallelujah. One belongs to the other. And we see how God is putting things together. What was not known 4 weeks ago is now a clear divine revelation. And we see the meaning and purpose of the divine commission with a prophetic message in these last days. All those who have been pardoned by God, all who can believe, all those who hold on to what the Lord has spoken, believe me, as surely as these prophets were resurrected with Christ when He rose from the dead. That's how Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 13. So surely Christ or God will bring those who have fallen asleep together with Christ. He will do it. We have been crucified with Him. We have died with Him. We have been buried with Him. We have been resurrected with Him. And we have already been transferred with Him into heavenly places. We are just waiting for it to actually happen. And it will happen soon. Hallelujah. Praise and glory to our God. Beloved, if I am not physically able to emphasize these biblical truths loudly today, I am convinced that the Holy Spirit is writing the word that has been brought into our hearts and making it a living revelation and reality. The prophets were men. They died like everyone else. Hebrews 11 says, some were stoned, killed, sawn asunder, and so on. They died like men, but rose again as sons of God. Beloved, we walk this earth as human beings, and many have even taken offense at the passing of Brother Branham, saying that if he was such a great man of God, why did he have to die as a result of a car accident? Beloved, God arranges things in such a way that people who do not think divinely stumble over them and become offended, and others rise up and say, "Yes, although he was such a great prophet, he was just as human as the rest of us." With God, there is no respect of persons. With him, there are only different tasks and commissions, and they do not make anyone great or small, but merely give us a great responsibility, which we then have in the kingdom of God. Beloved, may God bless us together from the riches of his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.